God is so good, and he is always faithful to do his work in his body and in my life personally. Now, when I was pondering about what I was going to speak on, honestly, this was before even Pastor Sean asked. This has been on my heart for quite some time. And so, obviously, if it's on my heart and then I'm asked to speak, you know that God wants to also speak to you as well. So thank you for being here today. And I do get very passionate sometimes and I yell. So if it's too much, raise your hand and then I'll quiet down a little bit. But sometimes, okay, Jen Brown, she's already putting her hand up. Stop it, Jen. Okay, so my title today is Your Words Matter. Your words matter. So we need to speak life. And my main text today is going to be in James 3, 1 through 12. I'm not going to read it all. So my note takers, go ahead and just write that text down. So you can reference back to it whenever you look over your notes again. I know when Pastor Sean speaks, I take lots and lots of notes. And I always try to reference back to all of them or read it over if I have like any kind of questions or anything. So you as Christians, it's your responsibility to give an account for your life. So always, always reference back. So with that, good morning. My name is Pastor Sharon. And I want to remind you to continue to pray for our pastors. They are away, much needed time away. And if we can go ahead and put that first picture up. We need to be reminded as a church body, they do so much for our people and they love us with all of their hearts or they wouldn't be doing this because it's not easy. It's not an easy job. But they do it because they love us and they have the heart of God. So we need to remind ourselves to pray for strength, that God would refresh them, give them wisdom, and they would have much needed rest with their time away. And honestly, that they would have an encounter with Jesus. You know, because that's one thing that can refresh you is his encounter. I know that when I was going through my study, God tore me up. I was on my face just bawling and crying, saying, God, help me. Like, you know, I'm just going to bring this up because one thing that happened during my intimate time with him is, you know how sometimes you ask for forgiveness and you keep asking for the same thing over and over again. Like God didn't hear you the first time, you know? And so God just told me, stop. And probably nothing bad, you know, nothing like huge, but I just keep repenting for it because it keeps coming to my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. I did that a long time ago, you know? And God said, stop. Stop asking for forgiveness because it's already been forgiven. So know that was probably meant for somebody here as well. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence and for your word. Your word says in Isaiah 55:11 that your word will not return void, but it would accomplish what you please. So today, Lord, will your word accomplish what you sent out? Will you let your word accomplish what you've set it out to do? And Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to examine not only what we say, but what's happening inside of us. Teach us to use our mouths to bring life, to bring encouragement and healing and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, your words matter. Church, I want to talk about something everyone of us uses. It's our mouth. Like you use your mouth all the time, okay? So our words matter because we're always using it. And sometimes we're not even sure what we're saying when we're talking to our neighbor because we're so used to just sometimes flying off at the mouth, if you will. And we don't even realize what we're saying, what we're projecting, what we're, how our words are affecting other people, even our own selves. And it says in Proverbs 18:21, we all know the scripture, and if not, we're reading it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruits and bear the consequences of their words. It's so powerful. The Bible doesn't say the tongue is powerful because it's big. The tongue is actually very small, but something small can have a tremendous impact. In James 3:3-6 says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in our mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses for it to go. Even though the winds are strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. I'm going to say that one more time. Okay? It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Well, that's just very impactful. I'm like, thank geez, okay. And honestly, since I've been doing this study, I'm not kidding. Every time I'm talking, and I tend to joke a lot, okay? I really joke a lot. And so I have that dry sense of humor, and sometimes I use it way too much, not even realizing it. And I've noticed when I've been talking, I went, oh, whoa, I just said that. And I'm like, not good. So I'm like, Jesus, please forgive me. So just want you to know, it's a personal thing to me. Okay, Jesus gave us three pictures. He talks about the bit in the horse's mouth, the rudder on his ship, and the fire. See, a bit is small compared to a horse. How many knows what a bit looks like? I'm not putting a picture up there. Okay. All right. A bit's probably about that big. And a horse is how big? Okay. Yeah. And a rudder is small compared to a ship. So how many, you guys know what a rudder looks like? Because, yeah, it's small. It leads a grand ship, you know, and it determines the direction of that ship. Okay, and a tiny spark can become a massive fire. Do you guys remember last year there was like a huge fire at the Superstition Mountains? Like, do you guys remember that? And I remember going, whoa, that's so beautiful. I even actually pulled over and took a picture of it. So sad, but I mean, at night, it was just so beautiful. But the damage that it caused, just from one little spark, all that damage, and I'm taking a picture of it. Yeah. So James says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boast great things. In other words, don't underestimate something just because it's small. Your mouth is small. And I know some of you are thinking something else. I knew it. But your mouth is small. But your words can change the direction of someone's life or your own. A teacher can say to a child, I believe in you. And that they can remember that for years. a parent can say, I'm so proud of you. Wow, what that does to a child's heart, even a grown-up's heart, you know? A spouse can say, I forgive you. A pastor can say, God still has purpose for you. One sentence can bring so much hope to your life. But one sentence can also bring tremendous hurt. See, can we get that picture up? Okay, now we know the Nana of the church, right? That's my Nana. And we're talking about the power of your words. This reminds me of her. When my Nana was younger, I wrote this down, so just bear with me. I just didn't want to miss anything. When my Nana was younger, she took care of plants. She had close to 100 plants. That's coming from Papa. And Nana didn't just water them. She talked to them, she sang to them, and she cared for them. Now, I know scientifically, we probably can't prove that those plants were flourished because they understood Nana's words, okay? But I heard how much she cared for those plants. She nurtured them, she watered them, she paid attention to them. She wanted her plants to thrive. And that's, you know, hold on. She wanted her plants to thrive, to be as beautiful as God intended them to be. That's what Nana wanted. And those plants flourished. And one of the plants even took up the whole kitchen table. So, you know, I'm like, hey, Papa, how were your dinners that night? He goes, we just kind of moved the plants from side to side, wherever we sat. And I'm like, oh. But, I mean, that just spoke volumes to me because it just goes to show the nature of Nana. And it was really funny because not only did she speak to them and she used to sing to them, but she also, and I don't know if anybody else has heard of this, but she took some milk and she dipped her rag in the milk and she used to wipe down every plant. She wiped them down and they, I'm not kidding, they shined. I'm like, wow, I've never seen plants look so good. Mine at home, not so much. I'm thinking I'm giving this desert plant lots of water, and yes, that's good. No, it died. It died. And I need to get rid of it because it's dead now. But so what are you speaking over the things God has placed in your life? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your children? What about your future? And what about yourself? What are you saying to yourself? I'm going to throw this one in there because I just really feel like I need to. What are you saying about your enemies? What are you saying about your enemies? You see, Nana was intentional and not careless with her words. Why do our words matter? Because our words reveal what's in our hearts. Jesus tells us exactly where our words come from. In Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in your heart, people? I had to ask myself the same thing, not just you guys. What's in my heart? Jesus is telling us that our mouth gives us a glimpse into our heart. If bitterness is in the heart, eventually bitterness will come out. If anger is in your heart, eventually anger will come out. If unforgiveness is in your heart, eventually unforgiveness will come out. But if the heart is filled with God's word, his love, his grace, his humility, and faith, all of those things will start coming out. That's why changing our words isn't simply about trying harder to be quiet. It's not about behavior modification. It's about changing the heart. Because you can still be quiet and all the things are going on inside. You know, God wants to change our hearts. In Psalms 139, 23 through 24 gives us a prayer we can pray. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." He said again, point out anything. Point it out. We as Christians, are we willing to let God point that out? If God goes, I don't like the way you talk to your wife. Are you going to let them, you're going to let God point that out? What if he's saying, I don't like the way you said that about your husband? That's the prayer we need. Every day we need to ask God to search our hearts. Every day. Because every day we sin and we don't even realize we're doing it. But every day we need to say, God, search my heart. God, show me what's inside of me. I'm telling you, when I was asking God to search my heart, my face fell to the ground. And I was crying so hard. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that was there. Show me what's producing the words that I'm saying. Is it jealousy? Is it hatred? Am I envious? What's it going on inside of me that I need you to change me? God holds us accountable. He does for our words. He holds us accountable for our words. Jesus takes our words seriously. And in Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless or useless word they speak." And I'm going to say that one more time. "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, when you stand before God, people will have to give an account for every careless or useless word they speak." Woe. Woe is me, for I'm unclean. "For by your words, reflecting your spiritual condition, you will be justified and acquitted of the guilt of sin. And by your words, rejecting me, you will be condemned and sentenced." I said, "God, this is a harsh, harsh word." But I feel like God's saying, no, this is going to catapult the church to another level. Because he's tired of playing games. He's tired of us not thinking about what we're doing. He wants us to go to another level in our maturity, in our faith, in our walk with him, because he wants us to take care of the people he loves. We can't do that if we're spewing out of our mouth. We cannot do that and talking bad about ourselves even and our spouses. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. God help me. God cleanse my lips. Jesus isn't saying that we can earn salvation by saying the right things. He is showing us that our words matter because they reveal what's in our hearts, and our words have consequences. Our words will either condemn us, or our words will bring life to others. In Proverbs 12:18, it says this: "There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." The one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Your words can bring health, not only to your body, but to somebody else. The Hebrew word for sword, please forgive me, I will mess this up and it doesn't even matter. I'm going to try. It's herev. Herev, I think. Herev, not ref. It's rev, I think. So the Hebrew word for that is something that's piercing, stabbing, thrusting through. So Solomon isn't giving us a gentle metaphor like that. He's not saying it's just hurtful or words that are uncomfortable. No, he's saying it's stabbing and thrusting. He is painting a picture of words, and I should have said that in the beginning. Solomon speaking, he's painting a picture of words that stab. Think about a sword that can cut, pierce, and divide and destroy. Think about that. When you see those fighting action movies and the swords, oh man, you gotta be careful what you watch, because sometimes I'm watching those and I'm like, ah! And it made me do that because I'm like, oh, that's just gross. Whoa, I'm not gonna even tell you the things, but if you watch them, you know what I'm talking about. Not good. But that's what it's like when we're speaking those things to our, out of bitterness, out of jealousy, out of hurts, out of unforgiveness. That's what it looks like. I didn't even bring you a picture. Okay? But just imagine. Use your imaginations. Move on, Pastor Sharon. Someone can speak words that enter another person's heart and leave a wound that's gaping and bleeding all over the place. Even though there isn't a physical injury, those to me are the worst kinds of injuries. The physical ones, you're like, oh, we could. Doctor can put that together. You can make that all better. But the ones that people say, and you can't see inside of them, and they're just left there going. Solomon says, on the contrast of that, but the tongue of the wise is health. We need to use our words to help heal the broken. In the book of, the Hebrew word for health is marpe. I might be saying that wrong, but I'm saying marpe, and it means healing, remedy, a cure, and restoration. So in the book of James 3:11, it's not on the screen, it says, our mouths can produce fresh water or bitter water. And then in Proverbs, it says our tongues can function like a sword or a source of healing. However, oh wait, have you ever, sorry, had somebody's words feel like a sword to you? And that's why we need to be careful. Because I know the words that have been said to me when I was younger still leave me with those scars and those wounds. And sometimes when the devil and the enemy tries to get inside my head, he'll go, oh, remember? Remember? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember. And I play into it. I do remember that being said. Words can stay with us. And that's why we need to be careful, because the tongue can destroy. And James takes us even further. He says in James 3:5-6, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can send a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. I know I've said that before, but God wants me to say it again. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. In the scripture, it compares the tongue. Oh, whoa. Did I just say that again? Here we go. God wanted me to say it. And something that may not even have been true, just emotional, has traveled through an entire community or church. So your mouth can suddenly travel. When you're gossiping, when you're doing all those things, it can travel. In Proverbs 16:28, it said, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Gossip separates people. Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And when there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. A talebearer is a person who spreads gossip, secrets, or rumors that often cause trouble, harm, or conflict in a relationship. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is stop adding wood to the fire. Shut it down. Shut it down. Not every story needs to be repeated. Not every opinion needs to be shared. And I have lots of them, and they don't need to be shared. Not every thought deserves a voice. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to tell somebody. How about praying for the person next to you? Just because you thought it doesn't mean you have to say it. It's just a thought. Put it away. Wisdom knows when to speak, and wisdom knows when to remain silent. Now, somebody might say, but Pastor Sharon, I'm only speaking the truth. I'm only speaking truth. And yes, we are called to speak the truth. But scripture gives us a very important instruction. And if you're a note taker, write this down. Ephesians 4:15 tells us, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every day more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body and the church. Truth without love can become a weapon. God didn't call us to use truth to destroy people. He called us to use truth to restore, to correct, to encourage, and to guide. Before you speak, and I speak, let's ask ourselves, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it loving? Will it build somebody up? And does it honor God? Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Are we encouraging and are we building one another up? Are you building your family up? What about your friends? So before the words leave your mouth, ask, am I building or am I destroying? I can personally say that I still remember how I probably destroyed somebody else by my words. Not okay. Not okay. I can obviously remember what we just talked about. The words that were spoken over us. And God, was there a time when I said something wrong to my kids that I shouldn't have? You ask God to reveal and then go ask for forgiveness even to your child. If God wants to reveal something in your heart that you spoke over your children, you need to ask him, hey, God, speak to me, please. And then go ask for forgiveness. Some of us are still carrying those words. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to think for a moment. Has there something been spoken over you? Forgiveness doesn't mean the words never hurt. The blood of Jesus has covered it. God will heal the brokenhearted. God will take all those things spoken over you and he will wash them clean. And you need to continually say, God, here am I. I don't want to be that person, but I also don't want to carry it either. So that's why we need to replace the lies with God's truth in us. When the enemy says you're not good enough, God's word says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ, so we can do the things he has planned for us long ago. So we need to take all those things that have been putting us down and say, God, I'm giving them to you because I want the things that you have done or that you have planned for me. Because I can't move forward if I'm stuck. How can you get out of the mud when you're stuck? How can you get out? Probably from an encouraging word. Probably somebody taking a hand and lifting you out. When the enemy says you're alone, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When the enemy says you're defeated, the Bible says, nah. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. When the enemy says your past defines you, the word of God says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I just want to give God just a shout of glory for that. We have to learn to answer the enemy with the word of God. That's what we need to do as a church. Because I am tired of him telling us and speaking things over our life. We're like, You talk about a sword, enemy? I'll pull out the word of God. I'll tell you what God says. Hold on. The good news, church, is that our mouths don't have to remain instruments of destruction. We can use our words to bring healing. And at this point, I'm going to take a drink. Write that down. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes the answer isn't louder. Sometimes the answer is softer. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can say is, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I love you. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. God hasn't forgotten about you. You are not alone. You can get back up. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Another version of that says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. There are people sitting around us who look fine on the outside, but are hurting on the inside. And God may want to use your mouth to give them hope. A compliment may seem really small, but it can change somebody's life or put them in the right direction. An apology will only take a second. A prayer can probably take just a minute, but God can use those words to begin healing. How can our words bring healing? Number one, we need to surrender our tongue to God, and we need to repent. Number two, say what he says. Speak truth in love, in praising, speaking what he says. And then now we come back to James 3:8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. And God takes this tongue seriously. The Greek word for tongue is akatastatos. That's what I'm saying. It carries the idea of something that is unstable. It's unsettled. It's disorderly and constantly changing. For example, 1 minute we're encouraging someone, and then we're criticizing them. We can praise God, then turn around and tear somebody down. That sounds so discouraging. But it's actually an invitation. Because James is reminding us, you can't do this on your own. There ain't no way you can do this on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. We need God to govern our mouths and transform our hearts. We need God to help us when we're angry and hurt. We need God to help us when somebody pushes our buttons. And we got lots of buttons. We need the Holy Spirit to help us stop before we can say something we will not be able to take back. When I think about Isaiah, I think about Isaiah 5:6. Isaiah said, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah recognized that his lips needed cleansing. And what happened? In Isaiah 6 and 7, says one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal which he had taken with his tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, "Here am I, send me." I want to hit on this point because Isaiah had a live coal from the altar touch his lips. When he had that coal touching his lips, it was after that. It said, then Isaiah heard the Lord. So he had to repent. He had to have that coal on his lips before he heard the Lord. Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." There had to be an action. Isaiah repented. Then he heard the Lord. Then he responded with, "Here I am." Do you see the progression? God had to cleanse him, and then God commissioned him. Sometimes before God can use our mouth publicly, he has to deal with our mouths privately. So maybe our prayers need to be, "Lord, touch my lips. Cleanse my speech. Lord, change my heart." See, he had to be cleansed before he could go and do the things that God asked him to do. So maybe today we need to sit and ask ourselves, "God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Will you please cleanse my lips? Because I want to move forward. I want to do what you're asking me to do." Our mouths need to praise God. Our tongue wasn't created only to talk about people. Okay? Our tongue is created to praise God. In Psalms 34:1, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Continually. What does that mean? That means all the time. Not just when everything is going right. Not when all your bills are paid. If we can use our mouths to complain, we can use our mouths to give thanks. If we can repeat bad news, we can proclaim the goodness of God. In Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with the glory all the day." Church, there should be praise coming out of our mouths 24/7. Even when it's hard. Even when your coworkers are being tough, you need to praise God. Because if you have nothing nice to say to them, go back in a back corner and start worshiping. Start saying, "God, I thank you for so-and-so and letting me be an example to them." Use your mouth to bring life, people. I've said this to myself, so I'm not just saying it to you. Our circumstances may change, but God's word remains true. Isaiah 48 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever." So when life gets difficult, we can stand on his word. we can acknowledge situations while still declaring his faithfulness. So we need to start our day, church, declaring God's goodness. So what if tomorrow morning, before you picked up your phone or checked Facebook, any kind of social media, before you listened to the news, I'm so bad sometimes at that. You start your day speaking God's word over you, over your family. Today, I just want to give you a moment. I want every head bowed. Sorry, I know that's so cliche. But every head bowed and every eye closed. Because I want to leave you with the final challenge. Number one. Watch what you say. Number two, watch what you allow into your heart. And number three, surrender your tongue to the Holy Spirit. James said that we cannot tame the tongue in our own strength. And he wants to leave you this as a reminder. You're not a victim of your day. You don't have to let fear dictate your words. You don't have to let anger dictate your words. Don't let your circumstances dictate your words. Speak about what is right. Before you speak fear, speak life. Speak the promises of God over you. In church, if you're married in here, I want you to just take a moment. If your spouse is next to you, grab their hand. Because you're in this together and you need to build one another up. God has put you together. So you can impact your family, your church, and your city, and your community, and your children. Build one another up. When you're angry with them, sometimes it's okay to be silent, but don't let bitterness stick in your heart. Let it go. Speak life into your children. And if there's somebody you don't care about at work, or in actually even a family member, you need to pray extra hard for them. Because that's a child of God. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. And Father, we come before you today and we ask you to forgive us of every careless word, every hurtful word, and every angry word. We ask that you forgive us for words that are spoken out of bitterness, out of fear, out of pride and unforgiveness. I know that you said in Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. My strength and my redeemer. So, Lord, let that be our prayer. Let the words of our mouth be pleasing to you. Let the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you. Cleanse our hearts and our lips and teach us to speak truth in love, to encourage the weary, and to forgive quickly. Teach us to know when to speak and when to remain silent. Holy Spirit, will you govern our tongues? Will you cleanse our lips? Help us to speak life over our family and to speak blessings over our children and speak healing to those who are hurting. Help us to speak faith when we are afraid. And today we give you our mouths. We submit and we surrender our mouths to you, God. Purify us. Let us go out of this building changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.